Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive, and we welcome you back here on the Scriptures for America Broadcasting Network, and we'll bring them in on. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening.
And we say good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings from Oklahoma.
And I want to say thank you to both you men. We, half hour before our earlier broadcast, it didn't look good out here at the Radio Ranch. The tornado north of town, the power was out, the internet was out. Looked like we were just not going to be able to go on. And folks, I want you to, I want to share this with you if I can take just a minute, men. But I sent this out and got a reply back. I said, no power or internet here. And I got a reply by Pastor Cox that said, Psalms 91 and take authority over it. And you know, I did that. It wasn't nothing me, but I just prayed to Jesus that we were doing his will. We were praying for his people. We were helping his people get delivered. We were encouraging his people that needed encouragement. We were doing his work, and that we needed the power and the internet. And
Brother Richard, you know what Jesus did in the storm.
Absolutely.
On the lake.
And that's what he did here.
Be still.
Yes.
And we're to do the same works of Jesus in his name, John 14:12. So here
praise
we go.
God.
That a lot of that has happened here in Oklahoma.
I'm sure.
We're supposed to be tornado alleys, but maybe that's shifting to the north. What do you think?
Well, I hope not. You can keep it, but praise God that Jesus still answers prayers. And I haven't heard of any damage from the tornado, but praise the Lord, we're on the air live. And the men, I'll turn it over to you, and I'll sure let you know when the callers come on.
All right, thank you very much.
Great.
Well, praise the Lord that what Jesus did, and he said, greatest works than these you shall do also. And here we are, just humble Christians, humble servants of the God Almighty, that we can look at that storm and say, hush. And it happens. I just thank you, Lord, for giving us those kind of tools, that kind of authority, that kind of power. Just a wonderful thing. We glorify you. We thank you for getting me air, get us back on the air this evening. And here we are live. We've had a little break. We do welcome you back. Had some stuff going on, personal things. Pastor Cox had some stuff. I had some things going on. And we just figured, all right, well, we'll just take May off and get back up. And I'm fresh. I'm ready to go. I'm anointed, highly favored. And I hear that about you, too, Pastor. Is that true?
Well, that's absolutely true. And I'm full of fire and ready to go.
Oh, praise the Lord. You know, I was studying Luke, and in chapter 7, it talks about the centurion and his how he sent his sent for Jesus, and Jesus would come, and you know, the centurion sent out his people and said to Jesus, because, hey, I'm not even worthy for you to come. I too am a man under authority. You just say the word. That's exactly what it says right there in verse 7. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're just to say the word and speak it. Those things happen then, they happen now, and they will continue to happen as Christians walk in that authority. The authority was given to us, as we like to remind everybody over and over on Luke 10:19, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall harm you. And that's just the power that we have. We are grateful for it. And we just to show about it, testifying to those out there, to hear the testimony of those who've applied the word, applied those things, and people have been set free from that which oppressed them.
And it's so exciting, Ralph, that the word will perform itself as Christians speak it. It actually goes forth, hitting the spirit world as it may be needed, accomplishing that for which it is sent, not returning void. It's some of the supernatural that we have going on around us in the fullness of the gospel. It's high adventure. Amen.
Amen. Pastor, how did last Wednesday? I'm sorry, how did last Monday go?
Well, we just had nine cases Monday night. It was very smooth, and I ministered to a 15-year-old. And it went very, it was very routine, and he felt a little bit come out, but not a big deal. And I haven't had a chance to talk to him or his dad yet, but as I often say, we go through the steps that we do. They got to be better. We're bound to hit something some way. So, and that's exactly what happened. Even in the cases it doesn't look like nothing happened at the time, I've had many of those. First one I ever ran into like that, I thought nothing happened. They weren't feeling anything, no manifestations, but I went through the steps, and then the testimonies come back of what we addressed, those problem areas were gone. So it's most amazing how that works, Ralph.
It is, and of course it's always better as a minister, if they're more engaged, because then you can you feel like you're accomplishing something. But the word does perform itself. I mean, even Jesus, when he cursed a fig tree, it wasn't even seen the fruit of that until the next day. And that's the same thing as we curse these spirits, as we curse these sicknesses and all those things. When we curse and tell them to come out, we command them to come out. Sometimes you curse them and tell them to go, you know, to go. And we don't always see it immediately, just like they didn't see right there during Jesus' time, but it was working, and it was working from the inside and coming out, and it is just awesome. And then something that came to my mind also recently in my study as I've noticed, I think I saw something that was actually mocking. I saw something on the internet that was actually mocking Jesus, mocking the power of the Word, and it said something to the fact that how come these faith healers don't go to the hospitals? And as I was studying the gospel, I got to thinking about that, and it came to my mind is Jesus didn't go to the hospitals. Those that wanted to be healed came to him. And it's just like deliverance. Deliverance will not work if you don't want it, if you don't search for it. The man that was on the pallet, his friends, couldn't get to Jesus. They searched for it. They wanted it. He probably encouraged them to get there when they climbed up the roof, put a hole in the roof and lowered them down. And just like the centurion who sent people out to get Jesus, they sent it out. Just like the woman who was in the crowd, she perceived, well, if I just get up there and touch the hem of him, you know, just the very hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And these are things. I mean, the power is there. But you do have to want it. It is our faith that sets us free. We see that a lot of times in Scripture. Our faith will set us free. So it is real important to actively go after it. You know, you just can't sit around and feel sorry for yourself, saying, "Well, I guess I'll just overcome." You have to be engaged. You have to go after it. You have to want it.
Yes. In fact, as I think about it, Jim Waldrop, one of our team leaders, and been with us many years. The man I assigned to him, Jim told me later, they got in the room where they were to go through the steps and all, and come to find out, this man doesn't want to do any of that. He says, "I've got a demon and I want to get rid of it." Well, we've got these things, we've got to close these doors, we've got to do this and that, as we've learned over these years, or it'll come back. And anyway, the guy finally walked out. So we see some of those occasionally that are pretty weird, that they won't cooperate. They won't allow us to take them by the hand and do what we've learned to do. But, of course, the majority are not that way, and they're all, they're coming saying, "Help me, I'm tired of this." And whatever we lead them to do, they do it. And sure enough, we get them to the goal line and freedom of those problem areas and physical healings even. So it's still back to choice, isn't it?
It is. It is a choice. And even, you know, you choose life, you choose death. A lot of times in our choices there. And, you know, Jesus talks. We have to answer. And it's just a matter of wanting it. But if you're wanting deliverance, and you can't get out to Oklahoma City, that you can go to deliveranceusa.com, the website that's set up, and they have done a lot of good stuff at that new website. I don't know who did that for you, Pastor, but they did a really good job, made a lot easier, a lot user-friendly. But you can go there. 99.9% of the stuff that we talk about is located on there, the prayers, the steps, the sheets, the sheet to follow, and the checklist to follow off on there. And there's testimonies, there's training, there's videos. Everything you need is right there, at just a click of the mouse on the internet. Or you can buy the you can order and get the book "Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus" that was written by Pastor Cox. It's got about 40 years worth of his experience down there. Basic manual. I like to call it "Casting Out Demons for Dummies," because it is really, really simple. And I'm always with philosophy: work smarter, not harder. And if someone's got a system and it's tried and true, I'd rather just, instead of reinvent the wheel, I'd just rather push the wheel. It already moves pretty easy.
Yes. Yes.
Of course,
there's no reason to start over.
No.
We've taken the hard knocks of getting to where we are. and it's like anything, if you keep doing it long enough, you ought to get better. So I'd say we've reached that. I think we have the best ministry group and all that we've ever had in our history, and got the machine down pretty good on helping people get free.
Do have a really good group of people that volunteer their time each week to show up. A lot of them I know do it because they consider that their church, their fellowship, their body, and they get to be around people that understand the demonic realm and the spirit realm and our authority over it, and get to around with people who don't think they're, you know, kind of nutty or crazy. But everybody there is there on their own free will, doing it because they want to help others as they were helped, and that's just fantastic.
Yes.
Because that's what Jesus said, is that, you know, take your lamp, put it up there, and as freely give, you know, as you freely receive, freely give, and it's just an awesome thing to get there. And Pastor, we have Kelly on the line. Kelly, thank you for joining us.
Good evening. How are you guys doing?
Oh, great, Kelly. Great that you called in. This is Ralph on here with me. He's up in Missouri. Of course, I'm here in Oklahoma City, and Kelly's over in Shawnee, Oklahoma, which is about 30 miles to the east of us. Well, Kelly, I appreciate you coming in, and if you could, just go ahead in the time that we have of sharing some history on yourself, how you got born again, and then how you heard about deliverance and any experiences you've seen and had so far.
Sure, absolutely. So my name is Kelly Ward, and I'll be 40 years old here in December. And back around, I estimated around 1987, at around the age of 9, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And it was kind of an off-again, on-again kind of walk with him, but it was kind of more like religious, more superficial. It wasn't like a real relationship. And so that went on and off through pretty much most of my adult life. And in 2008, I completely walked away from God. I turned my back on him completely. And I had a lot of demons then. Of course, at that time, I didn't really know that that was going on. And so I got divorced from my first wife and got remarried. And I just lived like hell. I mean, really. I mean, I just lived like the rest of the world and just did as I pleased. And at the time, I felt very liberated and freed from it. And the enemy is really good about doing that. He'll, you know, if you choose to walk away from God, I really think the enemy will you know, just kind of say, okay, hey, we got this guy in the bag here. Well, now we can leave him alone. We can go, you know, harass somebody else and take them down. And so it seemed as though to me all of the feelings and everything I had of just all the sin that I had in my life, it just felt like it was nothing to me anymore. And so I walked away, and of course I've lived in Oklahoma almost all my life. And in 2010, I decided to move to Alabama with my second wife. And so I lived there for probably close to about 6 years. And we were helping out with some friends who were Christians that ran an animal rescue, and they lived out in the country. And of course, I like being out in the country. And I just started helping them, and little by little, they were just kind of planting seeds about, you know, Jesus and so on. And they weren't pushy about it. And his name was Hub. He actually used to be a linebacker for Auburn back in the 70s, and he's gone home to be with the Lord a few years ago. I really love him a lot. And he was planting seeds about things that I had never really heard of or been exposed to, but yet it was something that God was able to use. And he was telling me a little bit about, you know, just some surface level stuff about the Illuminati, the secret societies, you know, the Bilderberg group, you know, just things that it just kind of piqued my interest. And I had an interest in that kind of stuff. And it just stuck with me. And I never could really shake it. And so one day I just felt led to just go research this, and then I would kind of put it down and then come back to it. Anyway, to make a long story short, one day in 2014, I had this big aha moment with all this stuff that I was researching, because I never could really figure it out. And at that time, of course, I was an atheist, and I was at a point where I really believed that there was no God. And so anyway, I had that aha moment where the Lord really helped me to kind of figure it out, where basically I just kind of, in my own mind, I basically just said that where all of this evil is, then there must be Satan. And if that's true, then there must be good. And where there's good, there must be God. And when I had that big, like, light bulb aha moment, I immediately realized, man, I'm on my way to hell. Like, God's really alive and he's real. So I hightailed at the church and did the biggest 180 in my entire life. And so my life has never been the same since. And this time it's been about relationship, and I actually started really reading the Bible for the first time. But when I did that, the insurance policy that the enemy put out against me, if I ever came back to the Lord, well, he come in and with his hand out, he was ready to cash in on me. So I started getting all these demonic attacks. Primarily, they would happen when I was asleep at night. They were, you know, incubus, succubus type attacks, where, you know, they would literally like rape me in my sleep, or I would have demonic sex type dreams, and I never could figure it out, because God gave me like this. I really believe that He gave me like this supernatural amount of grace to be able to step away from all of the perversion that I had been through most of my life. And to be able to step away from that in order to pursue Him, and I think He did that so that I would get to know Him and get to know His Word, until a point where I could learn how to fight, because I didn't know anything about any of this at that time. Well, and so in 2014, I started listening to an online ministry on the internet, and just, you know, I was so hungry for the Word. I was so hungry for God. So not only was I getting it from the church I was going to at the time when I was there, but I was getting it from an online ministry, and this guy was talking about, you know, deliverance and, you know, going to a church that believes in that kind of stuff, and, you know, go talk to the elders, go talk to the pastor, and have them minister deliverance to you. And so as I went along with this and just suffering with all these attacks, I finally just had enough of it. So I went to my church there in the Huntsville area that I was going to, and I reached out to them and said, hey, I need deliverance. And so they scheduled me, and I came in. They ministered to me. And for probably about a week and a half, I was free. I was able to sleep at night peacefully, and everything was good. But then the attacks come back, and at the time I didn't really understand why. And in fact, I didn't really understand why until probably about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. I can get into that here in just a moment. But anyway, I just figured, well, I'm going to have to learn about this on my own, because, you know, I could go back for more, but. I just figured, well, let's learn about this. Let's learn about doing self-deliverance. Let's learn about how the demons work. Let's learn about how to apply God's word. Let's go through and do some curse breaking. So I sit down and started learning about that, and, you know, reading information on the internet, you know, getting some books and just starting to kind of understand it, watching some YouTube videos of some other deliverance ministries out there, and just really just soaking it all in. And the more and more I learned about it, the more I realized how infested I was, and I wanted to be free, but I just didn't know how. So I started applying it. I would fast, I would pray, and I would really focus on trying to close the doors, just like we do at deliverance ministries. And by the way, just as a little rabbit trail, I started serving there back in back around December of last year, and I'm still serving there now, and I absolutely love it. And it's wonderful to see people healed and set free. But so anyway, as these attacks kept happening to me, I would kind of go through periodic cycles of stepping back into the perversion and then coming back out of it, not really understanding why it was all there. And I kept fighting what I thought were what was the root of it, but I never really understood that there was a root somewhere. I knew that there was a root down deep inside me, but I didn't know what it was and how it was connected. So I kept fighting, you know, the perversion demons, the sex demons, you know, the masturbating demons, all this stuff. I kept fighting them, and I had, you know, I had some, I would call it moderate success, and I was able to, you know, walk for months on end without, you know, without much thought of anything, without having any major issues, except at night when I would go to sleep. You know, the demons would always come back and harass me. And it just really bothered me, and it grieved me so much. And so, anyway, I just kept learning how to fight. I kept learning more and more, kept soaking it in. And in 2016, God moved me back to Oklahoma, and I've been living here ever since. And then I found Deliverance Ministries. I think it was probably around, oh, boy, I don't remember. It must have been maybe around, I don't know, August, September of 2016 or so. I went there, and Everett ministered to me, and I know that there's, you know, I know that there were some demons that came out, but the root of all of what was going on wasn't really addressed, and that wasn't his fault or anybody else's fault. It was just there was a root there that nobody ever made the connection to until the Holy Spirit basically helped me to understand what it was recently. And so I know that some demons came out. And so, anyway, I felt led to join. I started serving there back in, like I say, at the end of 2016, or I'm sorry, end of 2017, rather. And then it's been very rewarding to see people healed and set free, and to apply some of the things that I've learned to be able to help other people. Well, so probably about a month and a half ago, the attacks of lust and sexual perversion just increased just through the roof. And it had such a hold on me that I, in my flesh, I didn't know how to let it go. I didn't want to do the things that I was doing, but I didn't know how to get set free either. And I would go through this cycle where I would repent, I would walk away from it and just think, okay, it's going to be okay. And then, you know, maybe a day or two goes, and then they would come back. And I kept repenting. I kept kicking out the demons, but they always came back. And I never really quite understood it. And so I had a book sitting on my shelf back in my office. And it's a book by John Eckhart. And I think it's called, I think I wrote it down here, Deliverance and Spiritual Warfare Manual. And in this manual, he talks about double-mindedness, because somebody at Deliverance Ministries had kind of mentioned that a few weeks ago, and I thought, you know, I ought to look that up. I've never gone down that rabbit trail before, so let's do that. And in this book, he basically summed it up to, and it's not, it, there's probably way more to it than this, but he summed it up as basically, I kind of looked at it as two sides of the same coin. Under double-mindedness, you have rejection on one side and then rebellion on the other. And when I started reading about the things that rejection does to you and the things that they let in, including lust and sexual perversion, amongst other things, I really began to realize all the stuff that I had learned about rejection actually applied to me, and I thought I was free from it. So I thought, well, okay, I'm gonna really hit them hard. I'm gonna sit down and focus on this, and I'm gonna focus on the material that I picked up, all the handouts and stuff that I picked up from Deliverance Ministries, and I'm gonna minister deliverance to myself, and I'm gonna take my time. And I did this over the Memorial Day holiday weekend, so I spent probably, you know, maybe 3 or 4, maybe 5 days total, you know, maybe spend an hour or two here or there on it. And then that Saturday, right before Memorial Day, when I really sit down and work on the rejection from my childhood, from the things that happened growing up, that I was set free. And one of the things that when I looked at my family history, you know, and my dad's a good person, you know, we've mended fences a long time ago, and I have the relationship with them that I should have had years ago, and I thank God for that. You know, there were just some things that happened growing up that I wanted Dad's attention, and, you know, they were young when they had me. They didn't really go to church and so on. And so he didn't really have the relationship with me that I probably should have had. And I don't know that he maybe even had that relationship with his father. So I treated this generationally, went through the material, went through breaking the soul ties, breaking the curses and everything, and kicking out the rejection spirits. And once I did that, I felt this level of freedom like I have never felt before, and all of the lust and the perversion that these demons had on me, it's like, I love how Everett says it, you just jerk the rug out from underneath the demons, and that's exactly what happened. And I closed the door on them, and so I had probably about an 85-90% solution there, and I was able to walk free, but I still kept having some dreams. And so I reached out to another minister there who hears very well from the Lord and flows very well in the gift of word of knowledge. And he helped me recently to break off witchcraft and astral projection that probably maybe was passed down to me through Native American ancestry. And he also broke off mind control and Kundalini spirits as well. And I don't know where those may have come in, but I state all that to say that that the Lord has really, after all this time of begging and pleading Him and showing me what the open door is, why they came in, God has set me free, and I am so thankful for the Lord helping me to walk through this, to giving me the grace, to showing me how to fight, leading me to all the materials. And then not only that, but now that I've learned what I've learned about how prevalent rejection is in our society, that now I can take this and go minister to other people because I see how vitally important it is. You don't even have to be fatherless in order to have that. My parents are still together. They've, you know, it's their first marriage. They've never been divorced, and I'm thankful for that. But you can still have two people that are together and still experience rejection. And I didn't realize how big of a deal that was. And so now that I'm free of this, my mind is more clear. All of the it talks about the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, and I don't know what some of the other translations might say, but in the King James it uses the word fiery darts. All of those fiery darts that were coming into my mind of hey, man, you can go do this. You know, you need to one up from the last time that you went through this because, you know, I want to give you a bigger high off of it. And all of the fiery darts and just the things that were coming in, they all went away for the most part. I mean, I still get them, you know, just being a man, but for the most part, they all went away, and I feel like my mind feels more clear. And I feel like I've been able just to walk in absolute total freedom from that. And I am so thankful for Deliverance Ministries, for the material that they have, that I was able to use that and minister to myself with the power of the Holy Spirit to really help me get set free and healed. And so that's basically my story in a nutshell, guys. Do you have any questions for me?
Oh, yeah, that was great. What a testimony. And I think an interesting point here is while many are, we get clear through their situation in one session or maybe two or three, we still run into people that are just somehow more complicated, and it just takes more ministry to finally get there. Everybody is different. But it is exciting that also, though, with what... you were still ministering. I think this is a good point. You still had some evil spirits bothering you, Kelly, and yet you were ministering to others. And we've seen that over and over. Even though a Christian may still have some demons bothering them, that the power is still there. As a born-again Christian, you can speak the word, and the word will still perform itself, which is pretty neat, I think. That the word is like that. We were talking about earlier how the word will go forth to accomplish that for which it is sent. And that's what you were doing when you were ministering to people at Deliverance Ministries, and yet you had a situation still bothering you. Pretty exciting, isn't it, Kelly?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and you make a good point, Everett. One of the things that I've learned about this is I think that when people come through the doors through Deliverance Ministries, I think we can get them healed and set free of a lot of things. But what I've learned, at least in my experience, I don't know about others, is for me, this has been very much like peeling back the layers of the onion. And you know, I would get free of a little bit and kind of move up a little bit and then get free. And there may be sometimes people that have to come back a second. In fact, probably the second or the third person I ministered to, there was just so much, there was just a lot of soul ties that needed to be broken and inner healing that needed to happen that she had to come three times. And it probably could have been shortened down to, you know, probably two. But my point is that sometimes it just takes some people longer than others. And for me, yeah. You know, the Lord had to really show me what it was. I didn't know that rejection was really connected to lust and sexual perversion, but now it makes so much more sense. And now you see, look in our society today, you see all of the lewdness and the promiscuity and the people just all the sexual perversion and just the nastiness that people do. And I kind of have to think that that's probably rooted in their parents probably not having a relationship with God, and you know, maybe they were rejected by their parents in some way. I mean, I don't know. I'm just guessing, but just the lawlessness of our society,
well,
I would have to think,
Kelly,
probably.
I think that's a pretty good. I think, Kelly, that's a pretty good assumption there, because generally, you know, you hear a lot of people, especially women, that are very promiscuous, and then when they come out of that, they talk about the things how they didn't have a good relationship with their dad, and it was rejection, and they were looking for something. That's why they were going to men, and it can be vice versa with women, and, you know, with men as well too. Is, you know, they didn't have a good relationship with their mother, so they started looking for it in other ways. But I think what is that we're kind of maybe missing there is, here's Kelly, who's someone who's been trained, he's been doing ministry, he's now become a target by the enemy because he's on the front line. So this, a lot of these things could have been coming to you by curse, they could have been coming to you by assignment, and this and that. But again, I found with myself is when I went through Deliverance the first time, I did have a real good set sound of freedom, but more things started, you know, the Holy Spirit revealed, well, you need to deal with this. But I think what's awesome is here he was, he took his training, he took the tools, and all these tools are on the website, and he was able to go through them and do them himself, or he used probably used Pastor Cox's book, and of course the materials they hand out on Monday night there.
Yes, absolutely, that's correct. Yeah, and it's been a real blessing to serve there and to see people healed and set free, and I look forward to going for more.
Yes, and thank you again for being a team leader now at Deliverance Ministries. High adventure is ahead, Kelly. Well, God bless your brother.
Absolutely.
Thank you for sharing your testimony with us, Kelly. Have a good evening.
All right, thank you, guys. God bless you. Good night.
We have our next caller. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Braden? Yeah, Braden. Hi. Hi, Braden.
Hey.
Out there in the Texas Panhandle. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing really good.
Yeah, I'm excited you called in, and I know you've got a testimony to share, like all of us, and it's always exciting to hear. In your case, why don't you just go ahead and give some history, Braden, on yourself and how you got born again, how that happened, and then how'd you learn about deliverance and experiences there?
Yeah, okay. Well, I am born, like you said, out in the top of the Texas Panhandle. Grew up on a farm and ranch. Just learned how to work hard and all of that. But always worked for my dad on the farm. And we was always good people, but not really saved or anything. You know, we knew of Jesus and all of that, but didn't really ever go to church or any of that. But anyway, one day there was a carpenter that was working on our shop, and I was about 20 years old, I guess, and still working on the farm with my dad. For some reason, I just told him, I said, hey, if you ever need somebody to come help you, holler at me. And I don't even know why, you know, I was pretty happy working on the farm and stuff, but that just kind of popped out of my mouth. Well, about 6 months later, he called me and he says, hey, I've got a job opening. And I ended up going to work for him. I didn't really even consider the wages for whatever reason. Now I know, but back then I didn't even think about it, and I believe God kind of blinded me from that part. But this guy was really, really strong, probably the strongest Christian guy I know, even today. So I went to work for him, and about 3 months later, he had finally broke through to me and led me to the Lord and was saved, which was the best time of my life for sure, is just working for him and getting to talk about Jesus all the time after I got saved and all of that. And I remember one of the things that was really amazing when I finally realized about 6 months after I went to work for him that I wasn't making enough money to pay my bills when you put it on paper, but for some reason my bills was paid that whole time. So God miraculously paid my bills, you know, like he does all the time, takes care of people. So
praise
that
God.
Was really amazing to me, you know. God put me in that situation and blinded me from knowing how much money I was going to make or even thinking about it, you know, and captured me in that way. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was 21 or 2 years old when that happened. I can't remember for sure the date or the time, but about 21 years old when I was saved. So then when I skip ahead until a couple years ago, I guess, I started, maybe it was a year ago, started talking around, and some people started talking about the deliverance ministry and stuff, and I got on the internet and read all the stuff and watched all the videos and all of that stuff, and it interested me because I had, we don't have enough time in 20 minutes to talk about my whole family and future, but we have 5 generations of divorce in my family. I'm the 5th. I got divorced even after I was saved. I got divorced about 9 years into my marriage. I fell away from the Lord and went astray for a while, but anyway, is most definite. It intrigued me when I started studying all of that because I knew that there was something wrong with my family. You know, for sure, when it was talking about generational curses and all of that on the video. So, I finally came to Oklahoma City, went through the deliverance ministry, I think maybe a year ago, I don't know when it was, but and met Everett, and really, you know, it wasn't a huge impact on me that night necessarily, but just going through life afterwards, I really could just felt the freedom more of being able to be released from some of that stuff and the guilt and the pain that five generations of divorces causes. So it was a pretty big deal for me, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So what's happened from there? You've even wound up starting to learn to help others, Braden.
Yeah, there was our youth minister, actually, here in Paulette, and he actually even took it even further than what I had at the point. He bought your book and watched the videos and stuff, and he started doing the door-closing prayer to a lot of people. Actually, one guy that is now our friend, mutual friend, he was going through some hard luck and was separated from his wife and had started drinking again, you know, and just drowned in his sorrows. And this is even before he came to Oklahoma City. So he led this guy through the door closing ministry and led him to the Lord all in one night. And the guy is coming and playing in our youth band now and saved.
Praise God.
So, yeah, it was really good and released from all that garbage.
That's pretty exciting.
So anyway, yeah, so me and him and my wife loaded up a month or so ago and come to Oklahoma City, and we went all through it again, you know, and brought him, and I think he really got a lot out of it with the, you know, a lot of it was just learning how to minister to others, even more than what he had been doing, you know, and he had been doing a pretty good job before that, so that's where I think he felt the biggest impact, is just the experience of going through it himself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, certainly there's plenty of need in the Texas Panhandle. Just as we haven't cleaned Oklahoma County out yet here in Oklahoma City, so I'm sure there it's open season in the Texas Panhandle as well.
Yeah.
So where do you feel you go from here with all this?
Well, you know, it's I think the season of my life right now, I'm in my 40s and got a pretty big job, high-powered job, you know, of having to manage a lot of people. And I'm in the oil field, so everybody knows how demanding the oil field is. But, you know, I have a lot of opportunities in the workplace to influence a lot of people. So just with my, you know, just the, not even just with the deliverance ministry, but just with leading people to the Lord, you know, of just how I conduct myself in stressful situations, you know, and being able to realize when I'm being attacked by, you know, certain spirits or generational stuff, you know, just knowing that and being able to pray through it and get through it so that I can stay in it, my mind can stay free and clear, and that influences a lot of people, just them realizing what kind of pressures I have and how
I treat others, you know, and a godly guy,
sure.
No matter what the situation is, you know, in an industry that is not so godly, you know.
Yeah,
to make a big
right.
impact in the oil
and
field.
Those people, Braden, if you put that two-page problem list under their nose, probably most mm-hmm. of them would circle at least several dozen. And
yeah.
they have no way that they know of to get free of those. They live with them and cope the best they can. So that's when you come with a way to help them get rid of those problems, that goes a long ways in people reaching out. And I'm sure you'll find the Lord will coordinate. You know, once you show yourself approved, the Lord will coordinate
uh-huh.
people to you to do deliverance. You'll find probably you got your hands full out there. That's kind of when
yeah.
I got started. Next thing I knew, I was doing one almost every night, you know. And I didn't know the steps that we know today to do it, make it easy and efficient and more lasting, but still help people, just hard ministry. So armed with what you know now, hold on to your hat. adventure is ahead. Amen.
Yes, it is. That's for sure. It never. I always thought, you know, because I grew up in a sort of a pagan lifestyle, you know, and I always jumped from here to there, just trying to find an adventure. You know, it's always it still amazes me to this day that when you're following God and Christ hard, you never run out of adventure. it's always exciting every
yes.
turn. That you take.
It is. It is.
That's the way with deliverance ministry. You know, you lead somebody through that and see them delivered. It's really a thrill. Best thrill that you could ever have.
And fulfilling, and a feeling of self-worth that I never got in the business world or any of the other things I've done in the past and adventures. But the fulfillment that goes with this kind of ministry, and when you hear the testimonies about people's lives were turned around, there's nothing equal to that. So that's all ahead of you there, Braden, and your friend that you brought. It wouldn't surprise me to see him joining you in doing this out there.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the... It seems like he is doing a lot more than me, and I try pretty hard at it. So he's a pretty good trooper. That's for sure.
Yeah, I enjoyed ministering to him. I was very impressed with him, and certainly he has a lot of potential. Well, I understand the environment. I worked on a ranch out of Dalhart. I think I told you, Red Dodson's ranch. And the old-time cowboy stuff with no chutes. It was the old rope them, heel them, drag them in for the branding and all that. That was the old-time stuff. And I still enjoy thinking back on those adventures as well out there in the Panhandle. It's big country out
yeah.
there, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's big. There's a lot of lots of miles between here and there. Sure.
Yes. Well,
that's for sure. One of the that's kind of exciting to me. Just a little glimpse of what God has shown me. I think that in our future, is my job has allowed me to have own an airplane, and I've enjoyed talking to you a lot, Everett, about your flying days. But it feels like Dirk is the guy's name that I brought a month ago, you know, and it seems to me put us together, and that he might be more of the minister, and I am the guy that kind of initiates stuff and is traveling, his travel agent, maybe, if you say that. So it's a pretty exciting time.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, it is. And what a great aircraft you got, that Cessna 210. Those are great economics with that aircraft for cost and flight hours and time and distance.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great economic aircraft.
Well, in the remaining a few minutes, do you have anything else you'd like to say to the listeners about this subject, Braden?
I don't know how broad your audience is, really, but, you know, just the when you're talking about people having issues that they're dealing with, and I'm around a lot of people that have issues that don't even know. For one, they don't even know they have the issue. And the second is, the biggest part of people is they know they have an issue, but they don't even know that it's possible to get rid of it. You know, and I think that's one of our big jobs, is to just salt and light, you know, and be able to give our testimony to them people so that they can realize, hey, there is hope, you know, and there is a way out of this ditch, or whatever you want to call it, that they're in, so they could even realize that they have issues and that they can get out of it. And it's as simple as sitting down and praying through things and casting things out, and trying to have a normal life. I think a lot of people just think that they're born into something, and that's just the way it's got to be, and it's simply not true.
Amen.
Not at all.
That is so true, and you know, with so many people, they can get quite a Jesus overhaul in one evening, while it is typically around 5 hours or so we spend with them on Monday evenings,
yeah,
nevertheless, they could go out to dinner and go to a movie and spend that much time. So imagine your life getting turned around in the same amount of time.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. That's our Jesus, yeah, and that's what we have from the cross and the tools to deal with all this. Well, thank you so much for sharing all this, Braden. It's exciting to hear what's going on out there in the Texas Panhandle, and I look forward to visiting with you some more, and feel free to call anytime you get any questions on all this.
Well, I sure will, and I just thank you for your ministry and support you with all I have, and I'm glad that you have are there every Monday. That's quite a commitment on your part. So I really thank you and appreciate you.
Thank you for
joining us. Thanks, brother. God bless you.
God bless you, and have a great night.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, that was a couple of good testimonies.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, he's got a big territory to handle there, but, you know, it may start small, but there's so many people out there that don't have the slightest about how they could get free of their problem areas. And they have no idea it's spiritual, of course. They're just thinking it's flesh and blood, and that's the same problem Paul had with the church in Ephesians 6, 11, and 12, when he was telling the church at Ephesus, well, you're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of the world and spiritual wickedness in high places, the demonic realm. And that needs to be, that very thing needs to be said in churches all over the country. So it's got a long ways to go.
It does. I'm sure, Pastor, that you're just like I was before I knew, that I did think it was just I couldn't control the flesh. And it's not, and in no way whatsoever are we saying that the demon or the spirit or the devil made you do it, but they definitely influence you. They definitely lie to you. They definitely whisper in your ear. They definitely, they aren't helping the situation. And ultimately you make the final choice, but a lot of times when you're so tormented, so demonized, it's nearly impossible to make that right choice overcome it, and it ended up being a cycle over and over and over, just like what Kelly first started talking about, especially with the pornography and other things. And that's a very, very common thing with men. I know something I had to battle myself. I knew it wasn't right. I knew that I didn't want to do it, and I understand I still constantly consumed me. And then once I get through deliverance and dealt with those issues and the spirits, the flesh is pretty easy to keep in control once you get the influence out of the way. So praise God. And again, you can go to deliveranceusa.com. All the information's there that is available. All these things we talk about are on here. The prayers, the door closing prayer. Which, if you were to do one thing on that entire ministry, the ministry website, that would be, if there's only one thing you're going to do, the door closing prayer would be what I would suggest doing. But that alone is a good tool. But the breaking of godly soul ties, which is often talked about here, helps you to learn how to forgive and help forgive people. Because hold on to that bit, that unforgiveness is just a huge door opener. Because one, it opens up the door to the bitterness, and it's just better to just to forgive. And if you can't seem to do it, just speak it over and over. You know, let's say it's old Bob has wronged you, and you just have this thing about Bob, and you just say to yourself over and over, "I forgive Bob." Aloud, "I forgive Bob, and I bless Bob." And you keep saying that, eventually, you will. I mean, it's just a matter of speaking it. It's a matter of speaking it. And you get to where, you know, I've already forgiven them. And a lot of times now, praise God, I'll have people that will say, you know, forgive me for that. And I can honestly say to them, "I forgave you as soon as you said it." Because I know a lot of times when people say things, I know that there's things stirring them up, emotions. And when you have spirits constantly, demonic spirits, evil spirits, constantly bugging you, it's very easy to get a rise.
That lie program, speaking into their head over and over and over, and the negatives that you're not worth anything, you're a failure, nobody loves you, you might as well take yourself on out, etc. Yeah. That goes on constantly, even in Christians' heads.
Mm-hmm. And I came across, of course, I can't show it to anybody here because we're over the radio, but I've been, since I found out the deliverance, it seems like I come across it all the time on the internet or through a social media posts. And I found on a social media post a tattoo, and it's a perfect example of how the demonic world works. And it's a tattoo on the back of some man's neck, and on the back of his neck is a little demon with horns whispering into his ears. And that's exactly the way it works. They whisper to you, they lie to you, they lie to you. Pastor, we are out of time. We thank everybody for joining us, and we will see you next week. God bless.
God bless everybody.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy.
To overcome,
nothing will harm you.
Nothing
will harm you.